Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. This is the podcast for February 6th, 2009. This week, how polarized light fools insects, turning dolphin sounds 3D, and tracking bird migration from space. Suzanne, that sounds pretty cool.
Well, bird migration is one of the most mysterious behaviors in the animal world. And senior scientist James Smith of the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center says traditionally, scientists who wanted to study bird migration were limited to catching them on their breeding and wintering grounds. That left thousands and thousands of miles birds spend en route poorly understood. But Smith says in an era of emerging global infections, we really need to understand migration.
If we have animals that carry diseases, and that may happen more, we may see new diseases in North America that we haven't seen before, with potential warming and changes in the environment.
Smith says improved technology for tracking very small animals via radio and satellite is starting to make that possible.
Thanks, Suzanne. Next, Justin Warner's got a story for us about a new way to study dolphin communication.
New technology may help scientists decode dolphin communication. Florida-based dolphin researcher Jack Kasowitz and British acoustic engineer John Stuart Reed are analyzing dolphin sounds with an instrument called a cymoscope. The scope has a thin membrane that vibrates as sound passes through it. Then it converts those vibrations into a 3D high-definition image or glyph. Kasowitz hopes the unprecedented detail in the glyphs will solve some mysteries.
We believe that we're going to be able to take those sounds and, one, connect them to labels or what we would call, human terms, call words, but also to use them much like fingerprints and have markers within them that will allow us to identify certain specific animals within a pod.
He says they can already tell from a glyph if an animal is lost or in distress. They compared past recordings they've made of lost dolphins in the wild to the sounds of a mother and a baby dolphin frolicking off the coast of Mexico. Whenever the baby temporarily separated from its mother, it produced sounds that not only sounded like the other distress calls, but also produced a similar glyph.
And if you look at the central core of the glyphs, you can see an animal in distress.
It's hoped that being able to visualize these distress calls will help scientists identify them more easily and come to the animal's aid more quickly.
Thanks, Justin. In other animal behavior news, glass, steel, and asphalt may look just like inviting pools of water to some animals, and that's messing up their lives. Michigan State University ecologist Bruce Robertson explains that certain creatures, especially insects, are attracted to a polarized light. In other words, light waves that vibrate in one particular direction. Water polarizes light, but so do smooth, dark, man-made surfaces.
And they may actually polarize light more strongly than water does. So a building, a dark glass building, may look more like water than water.
As a result, mayflies are wasting their short lives laying eggs on buildings, while diving beetles and dragonflies are staking out breeding grounds on car hoods. It's not clear if these mistakes significantly impact the insect populations, but if they do, it could eventually cause a domino effect that disrupts other species. Finally today, Suzanne has a story about another threat that's messing with animal and possibly human reproduction.
Pollutants that block male hormones are emasculating fish and may affect men, too. This is according to environmental toxicologist Susan Jobling of Brunel University in England. She and her colleagues have linked testosterone-blocking chemicals in British waters to infertility and even partial sex changes in male fish.
We haven't actually identified the chemicals themselves. What we've done is we've identified the activity of the chemicals. So it's going to be a bit of a scientific detective story to try and find out what these chemicals are.
Candidates include pesticides, cosmetics, and prescription drugs. And unlike estrogen-like pollutants, which were already known to feminize fish, these so-called anti-androgens also damage human testicular tissue in the lab. Once scientists identify the chemicals, they'll want to find out if they're impacting men's health.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, we'll report to you live from the 2009 AAAS annual meeting in Chicago, Illinois. This is a very special meeting because it marks the 200th anniversary of the birth of Charles Darwin and the 150th anniversary of his publication of The Origin of Species.
It's going to be an exciting show that you won't want to miss. We'll tell you how our diet evolved and what this says about nutrition today.
And why kissing evolved and what it does to our brains. Until then, check out our Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. We've got a thrilling new science story every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. And don't forget, if you have a science question, phone it in to us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT, or send it to us from our website, www.scienceupdate.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.